paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back with episode number 10 of the Kickback Pod. We've been going strong now for 20 weeks, giving you consistent content every 2 weeks. I'm here, of course, JD. I'm here with my man, Fabius. And we are back with yet another episode, a big one. There's a lot to talk about in this episode.
Big episode for the big number 10. Yeah. No, I mean, it's been good. I mean, we were just kind of talking before about how 20 weeks is almost half a year and we haven't missed an episode, which is pretty good. I mean, considering, you know, we're both very busy men, living busy lives.
Yeah, and it's just been fun, man. It's been fun just kind of doing this, putting out this content. Like, we're officially podcasters. And yeah, it's just been fun, like, putting out this content and a lot of good feedback from you guys listening. Shout out to everyone listening too, by the way. We have a lot of topics to talk about in this episode. I know lately, the last few episodes, we've mainly been covering some of the big brands and some of their most classic models. In this episode, there's just a lot of news to get into in the sneaker world. So we're just going to be trying to cover all of it in this episode. But before we get started, as always, Fobs, how you doing, man? How's the last 2 weeks been for you?
Oh, man, they've been pretty good. You know, busy as always with work, but the Euros have started, so that's pretty cool. I can't wait for tomorrow because Germany's playing their first game. And I have to admit that I was pretty pessimistic before the Euros started. But now that, you know, Thomas Müller and Mats Hummels are in the squad, I think that, you know, Germany could pull an upset and even make it out of the group of death. What about you? What do you think?
Wait, just because of those two players? I mean, if you look at the preliminary round, like, didn't Germany lose to North Macedonia?
Yeah, but that was before Thomas Müller and Mats Hummels came back. So, okay. So they're. I mean, Thomas Müller is like incredible. He's been so good for Bayern the last like 3 or 4 seasons since the World Cup, and he was dropped by Yogi Löw for, you know, really stupid reasons. So I honestly think that they are going to really elevate the team. I don't know if it's enough to beat, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and the Portugal team, as well as, you know, the French team, because the French team is just insane. But they definitely have more of a chance now than they did before.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, good to have those two players. Who is your pick, by the way? Like, who do you think is going to win the tournament?
Oh, I mean, it's difficult, I guess. There's so many good teams, you know. France, obviously, I think number one favorite, right? But you've got Belgium as well.
No way. Belgium is like the most underachieving team ever. Like, this was supposed to be like their golden era, and they didn't even win a single trophy. And now,
yeah, but I mean, it's hard to win trophies, right? I mean, Germany had a golden era, and they won one trophy out of like 8 tournaments.
But did they even make it to like a finals? They didn't even do that.
Belgium?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think they've just been consistently like one of the 3 best teams in the world. And I mean, I think it is a bit ridiculous that they're ranked number one in the world, not having won anything. But I would say that they're definitely one of the top 3 to 4 favorites. Then you've got Italy as well, who haven't lost a game in like a year or two.
Italy is like, I mean, they've won, I think, 11 or 12 in a row now consecutively. No more.
Oh, yeah, and they haven't lost in like 27 games or something crazy like
that. Yeah. So Italy is looking strong. I think... I'm hoping, of course, so my team is Portugal, because like I'm actually a quarter Portuguese, so I've always rooted for Portugal, and because I don't have the other 3/4 of my ethnicity is Indian, and obviously there is no Indian football team to cheer for, so I'm always cheering for Portugal. And yeah, of course, I'm hoping they repeat. It was 2016 World Cup, Euro Cup was amazing. But yeah, I mean, of course, I think it's probably going to be France, though. France is looking like that team on paper looks unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see after the first game. But yeah, France for sure. I think it's everybody's favorite. Then England, you know, has a really good team. But, you know, they're England, so they might struggle just because they're England.
Yeah, exactly. Like England in big tournaments, not a good track record.
definitely not a good match. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely shaking up to be, I think, an exciting month of football, basically every day until mid-July.
Yeah, so I love it. I love this. I love like this football every single night. It's fantastic.
Even during the day, I mean, like, don't tell my team this, but I was watching the Scotland game during work. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
So I think it's just generally like such a great kind of thing to have sport all the way through the summer. You got the Olympics after that. It's going to be a nice summer, I think.
It's also cool how like things are kind of open now, like pretty much everywhere, at least here in Germany. I mean, you still needed like a test to go some places, but it's pretty much open, like outdoors, open everywhere.
Yeah. You can have a good time.
Yeah. I got my vaccine tomorrow, by the way. The first one. You already got yours, right?
I got half, yeah. So I'm waiting for my second one, but you'll be fine, man. Like
that's like what shot did you get? That is like the small talk of 2021. I've noticed
it really
that.
Is.
Like it, literally and everyone asked me that question.
It shouldn't be really, because it's like whichever one you can get is the best one, right? Because it's important that everyone gets vaccinated, but everyone's asking.
How's the weather, you know? Like, yeah.
It's so nice and warm. By the way, did you get asked for a BioNTech, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, it actually gives me cringe when I hear this question.
Yeah. I think it's just important that everyone who can get one gets one. I think the best one is the one that you can get.
Yes. So, I mean, speaking of things opening up, in-store pickups are open again.
Ooh, yes.
which is pretty big. And like moving on to our latest pickup segment. So there was a in-store pickup. I won a raffle at Soulbox, and it was really cool to actually go over there. Actually, the store is fully open, to see everyone working in there and actually going inside the store to pick up the shoes. Thought that was pretty cool. Shout out to Soulbox staff, Massimo, Chris, Mark. Like one of my favorite stores for sure. It was good to see them again. And yeah, I picked up the Sakai Blazers, the Lows yep. that just came out, the orange one. Surprisingly, I don't know why, but surprisingly an extremely underhyped shoe right now. Sorry for all that noise, guys. That's just me trying to unbox the shoes.
So, ASMR like, unboxing.
ASMR unboxing, exactly. Yeah, this is the Sakai's. Have you seen this pair already?
I mean, I haven't seen it on Zoom, but I've seen it on Instagram. No, I saw you post it on your story saying that it's probably your favorite shoe of the year or one of the best shoes of the year.
I didn't say it was my favorite shoe of the year, but I think it's just ridiculously like underhyped. I feel like if you look on StockX right now, these are going for pretty much retail. Like it's like, did Sakai hype die that bad? Like, because this shouldn't be going for retail, in my opinion. It's like a really, really nice summer shoe and looks really good on feet. So I was very pleasantly surprised with this pair. I'm a big fan of all the Sakai collabs. I think it was maybe
a little bit less hype because it's not like a totally new silhouette, right? It's just kind of a blazer with like double everything, which is cool, you know? But the other ones are a little like more like, wow, what is that? You know, and you can see different elements of different classic shoes in there, but it's still like a relatively new kind of unseen silhouette. Whilst this one is like been seen, you know, so maybe that's why. But then also that's probably a reason why it's so nice, because it's a spin on a classic familiar silhouette.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Blazers are not everyone's favorite shoe. Some people think it's like the most boring shoe ever. But I think Sakai did a pretty good job. And actually, my favorite shoe that actually came out this year is also a pair of Blazers, the ready-made Blazers. And also another pickup. This is maybe my favorite shoe of the summer. Not this particular colorway, but this model. Easy Foam Runners. I picked up the Mineral Blues. I think that's what they're called. Even though if you see them in hand, you wear them on feet, they actually just look black. There's a very slight tint of blue to it. What do you think? Do you think the Foam Runners? I was thinking of like, what is the most popular shoe this summer? And like, obviously, like Dunks are like a big. Like we don't have to get super deep into it. I was just thinking like, I've noticed on Instagram now, a lot of people who initially were hating on the shoe, like I've seen them actually get their own pairs, flex them on the gram. So it seems like it's like the same cycle with every Yeezy, you know, like when it first comes out, everyone's shitting on it. Everyone thinks it's the weirdest design. And now everyone wants a pair. And I see the same thing happening with the foams, like a lot of people wearing them now. And I've been on them since the beginning. I've said since like the first picture that they fire. And this colorway too is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the fact that they're so A, comfortable, B, you know, airy with all the holes and stuff like that. It just kind of makes it a good summer shoe just because it's light, it's comfortable, it's breathable. You're not going to be sweating too much in them. You can kind of wear them with socks, without. They're super versatile.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely could see a case for it being the shoe of the summer. Of course, the summer is long and it just started, so we'll have to see what else drops, but definitely a contender.
What about you? You picked up anything?
I got two pairs, I think. I don't know. Time doesn't really exist anymore. I think it was two pairs in the last 2 weeks. One was an On Cloud Nova Z5, which I don't have with me right now because I left it in the office. But it's a pretty cool shoe. It's a lifestyle version of On's running shoes, and it has the same like cloud tech technology. I would say it's maybe two. Right. Yeah.
I'm just like completely clueless, but like, I haven't heard of this brand. What is this brand?
On. So ON, right? It's not the On? Best name. Yeah. Yeah. So like On. Wait,
I've literally never heard of this brand. So like, and now I need to Google this.
Google On Cloud Nova Z5.
Okay.
It's a Swiss running brand. It's been around for 10 years.
Really?
But it's relatively small and niche and kind of up and coming. They have very like distinct cushioning technology, which some people love, some people hate because it's very divisive, but they're starting to make more and more kind of performance lifestyle shoes or athleisure shoes, as some people would call them. And the Cloud Nova Z5 is the latest one basically. And it uses the same running technology, but is more of a lifestyle silhouette. So I think it's got a really nice shape and it's very, very comfortable and light and breathable. But the launch colorway is just a little bit too bright. It's got this like vault kind of zigzag on the upper. We'll put it in the show notes so that you can check it out. I generally like the shape of the shoe, and with a different colorway and maybe some different color blocking, I could definitely see it being like a decent everyday shoe.
Yeah, it's not bad. The midsole kind of reminds me of those 2 Chainz shoes, like, you know, the ones he did with Versace.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What are the
chain link or something, or
reaction or something like that. They were called something weird. Definitely. Like, so that was the first pickup. And then the second one was I got a pair of the Sneakers and Stuff SNS GT for Berlin. It's like this blue suede Adidas shoe, like very classic, kind of similar to the Zamba or the Spezial. And it's this really beautiful kind of like light blue classic kind of shoe that, you know, people used to wear on the like terraces of the stadium. So it's like connected with football culture a little bit. And it was released just in the Berlin store, and Sneakers and Stuff has released similar shoes in all of its cities. So like Paris, London, I think Tokyo is still coming up, LA, New York. And this one was a Berlin version. So I was lucky enough to pick up a pair of those, and they're super nice on feet, super nice summer shoe. So those were the two pickups. Yeah.
Sneakers and Stuff always killing it with the collabs.
Definitely.
Especially the ones with Adidas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they go way back with Adidas. So Sneakers and Stuff. Great, great store as well.
Didn't they just dropped a New Balance collab too, I think, on the 237s.
Yeah. The blue ones. I always get confused. 237 or 327? I think it was the 237.
It was on the 237.
Right, which is like this less edgy version, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that one was nice too. Like really nice, like blue suede kind of thing.
That store is open again too in Berlin. I need to pay them a visit.
Yeah, I went. So that's where I picked up the shoes in store, which is really nice. Like you said, it was super cool seeing everyone just hanging out, you know, just talking to people and interacting with people you haven't seen in a while. There's nothing beats a good in-store pickup in my opinion.
For sure. Like I was kind of bored of just getting shoes from my DHL delivery guy.
Right. I mean, now you probably have a really good relationship with that guy, but
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, let's just jump into the news. There's a lot of news to talk about. Where do we start? Should we start with Virgil and Off-White?
Yeah, I was going to say, we were just talking about really nice colorways. Let's talk about a lot of colorways.
A lot. Or maybe a lot less than we expected, right?
Yeah, true. It's technically only one colorway 50 times, right?
Yeah. It's like 50 variations, or actually 48 variations of the same shoe, which is ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. So we talked about in the last episode, our hypothesis or our prediction for this release, it might just end up being a city exclusive, and we might just get one pair in every single Off-White store, which I still think is going to happen. If it doesn't, if you guys haven't already seen pictures of this release, it's already on the sneakers app now. So it looks like there's going to be 50. The first one is like this white pair with which kind of looks like those MoMA Air Force Ones with the silver swoosh.
Yeah,
I really don't like the outsole on this pair though. It's a bit too yellow for me.
Like a pre-aged yellow.
Yeah. But like pre-aged soles is not something new. Like we've kind of seen that now for the last year and a half. But on this pair, it's like super super aged. Just my opinion. And then we have 48. It looks like it's essentially the same shoe, like this kind of silver and white combination. And there's 48 different variations, so different types of lace colors, different types of tags. Also, each of the shoes will have like numbers. Each of the colorways, will have numbers on the outsole, and those numbers too are going to be in different colors. But besides that, it seems like it's essentially the same shoe 48 times over. How do you feel about that?
I'm pretty conflicted because, like, on the one hand, I think it's great just because Virgil is like flexing so hard on everyone. Is like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. I'm dropping the same shoe 50 times and they will all sell out. You know, it's like the ultimate flex. So that's why it's almost great. But at the same time, it's way worse than I expected. You know, I thought that there would be like different shades, different like color blocking, different materials used all across the 50, and that they would be regionally locked. And that would then of course make them more covetable. But it's like you said, it's literally 48 of the same shoe with different like laces or different colored tags. And then I think 20 or 25 pairs have like canvas and leather, and then 25 are suede and leather, right? With like the paneling and stuff like that. But I don't get what the point is, right? Because it's not a new silhouette, right? The Dunk is not new. It's not an old silhouette that's been reworked in a radical way, which is what he did with the 10, right? He literally has just put trail hiking laces on a Dunk, kept it gray and white, and then changed out some accent colors. So it's more than a little boring. I'm with you.
When I heard about the 50 Dunks coming out this summer, like my first reaction was, yeah, way too much, way, way too much. And if you remember that sneaker account Pirates, they were the first people to leak this information a few months ago. And the funny thing is Virgil commented on their leaked image and said, there's no way I could think of these many bad colorways. He says something like that. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but
no, he said exactly that. He was like, I couldn't think of that many bad colorways if I tried, because they had like a bunch of different like mock-ups or whatever.
Yeah.
The joke's on him because he literally thought of one colorway.
He couldn't think of that many bad colorways. Well, he clearly couldn't think of any good colorways either. I mean, he thought of one colorway. Now looking back at it, like I wish some of those Pirates images were actually true, right?
Right. Yeah. Maybe they were, and they were like, oh fuck, it got leaked, we gotta change it. And then they just went to like a blank canvas. But yeah, even if they do what we think they might do, which is release them geographically locked to each Off-White store, right?
Yeah.
even that doesn't really make it that much better, because the whole point of, in my opinion, geographically locked releases like the Yeezy 350 has been done a couple times, some other releases, is that the colorways are distinct enough that there's a difference, right? And so it's a challenge to complete the pack. But these are so similar, I don't think somebody's going to say, oh, I got the slightly purple ones and now I want to get the same shoe but with the slightly green laces. Like, nobody's really going to try because the difference isn't big enough between them. But again, it depends on how they release them. I just have no clue why they would do that, to be honest.
If they don't release it in the way we're thinking, and let's say it's just like 50 sneakers on the sneakers app, right? Then like, I'm thinking like for those 48 pairs, like I'm thinking like the resale prices are going to be pretty low. I mean, this is considering, I'm imagining there to be, let's say there's quite a bit of stock, or at least as much stock as previous Off-White collabs for each pair. Then like, I'm really like, I don't think people are going to care. Like, the red lace pair is not going to sell for more resale than the pink lace pair, you know, like it's pretty indifferent to most people. So, it's weird that it's really weird that they did it this way. Like, I just don't get it. I wish there was, if you're going to draw 50 pairs, at least make it a little bit more creative. Like, this is a little bit boring for me. I will say, however, pair number 50, that blacked out dunk, those are hard. Those are so, so nice. Like, I really, 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 really want that pair. Like, that's
do they have a white swoosh, or is it just black? They have,
no. The swoosh is that metallic silver.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I think those are definitely the best just because they're so different from the rest, you know, like they're the only different ones.
So those are like a top five Off-White release to me. Like, Off-White.
That's a big call.
Sick, man. Like, those are so, I'm not even like a big black shoe guy, but those just look so, so nice.
I also don't like that the weird lacing on the, even on the original three that he dropped, I didn't like that weird lacing across the top.
I mean, it like, when I reviewed those shoes, I said it looked like someone dropped like spaghetti on my shoes. Like, that's kind of what it looks like. Although, like, the quality of those pairs were like the best dunk quality of like the last 2 years, like amazing quality on these dunks. And also, if those were any indication, these 50 are probably going to have amazing quality as well. But yeah, pretty disappointed with the colorway. Actually, let me ask you a question. Like, if, like, Off-White has been around for like 4 years now, right? Like, if you had, actually, do you own any Off-White sneakers?
Yeah. Like Off-White Nikes, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I had the original Prestos. I have all three Air Force Ones, like not including the MoMA ones, or the museum ones. I've got the original 97s.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you have quite a few.
Yeah. And then I had like a few that I wore and then like ended up selling to get something else or whatever. Like, I had the Halloween Blazers, which I actually regret selling now.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to buy those back.
So then maybe this is the answer to the next question. Like, if you had the opportunity to basically get any Off-White sneaker, Off-White Nike sneaker for free, like which would you pick?
Oh, the original Air Force One.
The white one.
Yeah. Cause I have mine, but it's one of the shoes that I've worn the most, I think, over the last 5, 6 or 4 years, whenever it came out, for 3 years. And 3.5, and they're completely trashed. Like, the sole is completely, like, there's no grooves anymore on the outsole. I've scribbled all over them. So if there's one shoe that I could like double up, it would be that one.
That's such a nice pair.
Good. And I would just want to double up because they're also like, they're just so sturdy because they're like thick. There's like suede, there's canvas, there's all this crazy like material that he's used. And they hold up. Like I said, I used to wear them. I wore them probably for a whole year, like almost every day straight. And they still look good because Air Force Ones, they look good when they're beat, right? So I think I would get these to then just like hold them for another like 3-4 years and then just trash them again.
Yeah. I mean, that's how Virgil kind of intended it that way. He wanted those shoes to kind of look beat up and trashed.
Yeah, the original ones at least, right? Because they had that, like, they yellow a little bit when you put them in the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
No, definitely, I think, yeah, for me, it would definitely be the Air Force Ones. Although, nice. Yeah, there's some really good ones with the original 10s. The original Prestos are dope as well.
Yeah, those are my favorite off-white of all time. And I actually own them, so I already...
And I had two pairs.
You had two pairs?
I had two pairs. I gave one, sold one to a friend, and then actually flipped the other one to afford to buy the others because I won like six raffles or whatever. And I was like, oh, nice. Shit, I don't even have enough money to pay for all of these. So I flipped one of the Prestos to buy the rest.
Those were the days, man, when raffle winning was easy. You know how many I won for the original 10? Like, you wouldn't even believe it. I won 17 raffles.
17?
17.
What the? Where? Yeah.
Like, bro, all over Berlin. Like I won like a bunch at Soulbox. I won like Wu Store, bro. Wu Store was the plug. Like, out of the 17, I think I won like 9 at Wu Store.
The fuck, 17?
Yeah. And I entered, and I didn't even enter that many people. I entered like my girlfriend, and like three colleagues of mine in the raffles, and they had no idea like what they were entering. But shout out to all of those ex-colleagues of mine who came with me to these stores to pick up the shoes.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I was foolish enough. Like, back then, I honestly didn't know much about reselling or anything. So I sold so many of them like quick flip, you know, like a complete idiot. I was quick flipping them, and like I sold them for like 400 or 500, and like they're all going for like 2K now, like more than that. Like,
yeah, but I mean, it's like anything in life, you kind of like, that's all part of the fun, right? And the journey too, I guess, you know, like, sure, there's, you know, you missed out on like a shit ton of money, but just the thrill of like you just said, that story about having colleagues go and pick it up for you. And, you know, that's all part of it, I think.
Yeah, sure. I did keep also, like, three of my most favorites though, like, which was the Prestos, the Air Max 90s, and also the Zoom Flies. So those are the three that I kept. I wish I kept an Air Force One now that I think about it. I really wish I kept an Air Force One. Yeah. Oh, well. All right. So, yeah, I mean, there's two other big topics to get into. Should we talk about what, speaking of raffles and like reselling and like what's been happening with raffles over the last few years, let's talk about what happened at Offspring the weekend before that. I think it was this last weekend.
I think it was last weekend. So I guess you're more familiar with the story. So why don't you, for like people who don't know, like just lay out like what happened,
okay,
and then we can get into like what we thought about it.
All right. So I first heard about the story from people who follow me on Instagram. So this one guy messaged me on Instagram. Sorry, don't remember what your username is, but he messaged me on Instagram. He's asking me, hey, JD, where can I buy boxes of sneakers? Like, I have these Ambush Dunks, but I don't have the boxes. Where can I buy the Ambush boxes? And I was like, wait, what do you mean? Like who's, I don't know. Like, I literally told him, I don't know. I'm like, I have no idea who would sell you an Ambush box. Like, so I straight up told him, I don't know. And then he's like, sent me a picture of like two pairs of Ambush Dunks he had without boxes. And he told me, like, I got these from Offspring. They refused to sell the boxes. They destroyed the boxes. And they only gave me these shoes that him and his girlfriend both got a pair. And he was basically struggling to sell them. So, and then I saw this video. It was circulating on, I think I saw it on Nice Kicks, a video of like this Offspring employee basically like jumping and destroying the boxes right in front of customers, basically. And from what I heard from other people on Instagram too, basically you would go there, you would pay for your sneaker, and then they would literally like stomp on the boxes like right in front of you, and then just give you the shoes in a bag. and then what they did was, which I thought was just crazy, they then took a picture of all of the shoes they destroyed, all the boxes they destroyed. They compiled it. They stacked all these boxes and like posted it on their Instagram saying, "We don't wear boxes." That was the caption. And so there is basically like, this is the official Offspring account. They were basically flexing that they destroyed all these boxes. So yeah. I don't get it. Like, I understand the intention. Okay. So So first of all, guys, like Fabian already wrote a whole article about this on High Snobiety. So maybe we can leave that in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Just like a breakdown of this whole situation. But yeah, so Offspring in the past, I feel, has been one of the best stores actually at trying to combat sneaker reselling. So I don't know, like they've tried many different methods, and I don't know if you've ever entered an Offspring raffle. Like, it's actually a pretty impossible raffle to like bot with bots, because
yeah, they put a lot of effort into it, but sometimes like they make it hard for you to enter, right?
Yeah, exactly. You have like basically a minute or 2 minutes to enter, like on Instagram, basically. But there's no way for like a bot to do it, because you don't know what the keywords are going to be, and so you kind of just have to like do it manually. And also, like, if you win multiple times, they will DM you and they tell you, hey, you won, congratulations, but when you pick up the shoes, you need to wear those shoes you won last time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's something that they've been doing this whole year. So this is their way to make sure that it's not going to resellers, basically. Like, people who won, they need to actually wear the shoes that they won before to the raffle, to the pickup spot. So I thought that was I thought that's already a pretty like foolproof effective way to do this raffle. So I just thought what they did, which was like destroying boxes, I just thought I was crazy, because like for like a store that's like so all about, you know, like standing up for sneakerheads and standing up for sneaker culture, like how do they not realize that like sneaker boxes are like just as important as the sneaker to a lot of sneakerheads? Like, you need the boxes. Like, if I'm gonna go to the store and drop 100, and the retail was 190 euros, if I'm gonna go drop 190 euros and then watch one of your employees stomp on the boxes like right in front of me and then just hand me the shoes, like I'm gonna be pissed off. Like, no, man, you can't do that. So
yeah, I think if they had maybe communicated it before and then not stomped on the boxes, you know, like I would maybe see it a little bit.
I don't
different.
Know. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to like speak on that, because I don't know if they already communicated that before or not. Maybe they did. But like either way, man, like this was, what do you think? Like just give me your thoughts.
I mean, I think it was definitely the wrong solution to the right problem. Like you said, right? They put a lot of effort into ensuring that the people who win raffles and buy the sneakers actually wear them, or want to wear them, or want to use them as they are intended to use, and not resell them. But I think it's probably, in my opinion, bulk resellers, or these large scale resellers like Benjamin Kicks and stuff like that, the people who bought releases and get like dozens of sneakers, I think those are a bigger problem than like the random kid who, you know, wins the odd raffle, because like you said, it's super hard to win a raffle, wins a raffle. And then he's like, hey, you know what? Like, if I sell these, I can buy myself a bike, or I can buy myself the next shoe that I want, or like a shoe, like he can trade it for another shoe or something. You know, they don't know that the people, I could be winning for my brother, you know, or I could get a pair of shoes and give them away to a friend for his birthday, or I could trade them for another pair. That doesn't make me a reseller. So I think they're definitely trying to be inventive with how they do it and stuff like that. But it's difficult when you're kind of targeting these like individuals rather than trying to set up bot protection, which I think is the bigger problem, or the thing that people are most pissed about. Like, when you see people on Twitter, on Reddit complaining about releases, they don't complain about the one dude who got one pair and resold it. They complain about the guys who got dozens of pairs because of bots, because of backdoors, because of whatever, and are reselling those and making a lot of money. So I think it was just unfortunate, really, that they were like caught stomping on these things. I think personally, I feel that their heart was in the right place and their intentions were right. It just came across in the wrong way. And I mean, I agree with you. I would be pissed if they like stomped on my box right in front of me to kind of rub it in my face, because that's what it kind of seemed like a little bit. Yeah, generally, I think that, like you said, that they're doing a good job. They're really trying, probably going above and beyond maybe even what other retailers are doing to prevent resellers from getting the shoes. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think this time was, a time where it maybe didn't work in a PR sense, but it definitely worked in that people who bought it and then wanted to resell it couldn't because the box was missing. So I think A, it worked, but B, it kind of backfired on them a little bit in terms of like social media backlash and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it could have just been a publicity stunt even, like, you know, like, it just seems kind of out of character for them. And I don't even think Offspring needs to prove anymore that, you know, that they're against bots. Like, I think like they've more so than any other store I can think of in Europe. Like, I think they have had like the most fair way to release shoes, really going above and beyond, trying to kind of get the shoes to the people who actually want them, which I think is really cool. Like, and honestly, I've always kind of admired them for that. I wish there was more stores maybe here in Germany who did that. And I think, like, there's, like you said, there's way bigger problems, and the bigger problems are like these stores that don't make any effort whatsoever, and they kind of just, you know, like pretend that the bots don't even exist. You know, they'll release a super hype shoe, just like an online surprise release, like an online drop. And everyone is kind of, every bot in the world is expecting it to drop, you know, like it's like, what do you, like, these are the kind of stores that I feel like are really the main cause of this whole issue. Like, I mean, I know, like, I've been in like some of these Discord groups where people are just kind of, you know, trying to bot these releases, and I see them, like, there's just, it's just so easy in some cases. Nowadays, it's really cool to actually watch how many stores have come up with, like, I think pretty genius ways to combat these bots. And you also wrote about it in your article. Some stores are dropping it on completely different URLs, which the bots don't expect. Some stores, like right before checkout, Supreme has been doing this actually quite effectively lately, which is right at the last moment before you check out, they ask you like a surprise question that you have to answer.
Oh yeah, which is Union also, did that as well, I think.
Union also did that. Also, Amon Menier did that on the Jordan 3s. And so that's so a lot of stores have been doing a lot of really cool stuff trying to combat these bots, and some stores just don't care. Like, they're continuing to just hand out the releases, backdoor releases. You know, these are the ones that are really causing the issue. Offspring, I mean, good job, good effort, but really, like, you guys should have done better. This ain't it.
Yeah, I think we can agree that it was like, came from the right place. They're trying to do the right thing. It just didn't work this time. But, you know, that, I think that's just the nature of the game. They'll kind of, I wouldn't even call it an L, but, you know, they'll take this and maybe they'll do something else next time, or they'll try and be better next time. At least, you know, we hope.
Yeah, I think so. I think like, I mean, they really, I feel, have good intentions when it comes to this. So I hope they'll deal with the next one better. One last major topic to talk about is, this is from Jordan Brand, and Jordan Brand have officially been granted a trademark on the, I guess, the design of the Jordan 1 or the shape of the Jordan 1.
Yeah. Like the paneling. So basically the way that the panels of the shoe are set. So I guess it's the design, but it's not the overall shape, but rather like the toe box, and then, you know, the placement of the ankle collar and that kind of stuff, which, you know, if you know what the Air Jordan 1 looks like, those are very distinct kind of shapes, like legendary and iconic, and shapes that have been copied many, many times.
Yeah. So they've finally been granted a trademark on that. They also got a trademark on the Jordan 1 low, I believe. So good news for all the bootleggers out there. The mids are still available. So go ahead and start making your fugazi mids. yeah. But yeah, that was, I guess, there's been a lot of reaction online to this, you know, like Nike is trying to block the creators, and I've been seeing these types of reactions, mainly those kind of reactions, really. My personal opinion, I kind of completely understand Nike's argument here. So Nike's argument was that the average consumer is getting confused on like what a real Jordan 1 is and which are not made by Jordan Brand. And I totally understand this. So some of the most popular bootleggers out there, like if you heard of Fugazi, they make these they even use the same colorways as Jordan 1s. Like they'll use like a Chicago colorway, and they'll put like a, you know, different designs on it, like using shotguns and revolvers, etc., which have been proven to be really, really popular. And like, don't get me wrong, I think they look fire. I think those bootlegs look absolutely fire. But I totally get what they're saying, because I've noticed this myself. Like a lot of the people who subscribe to me on YouTube, they'll ask me like if this shoe is a Jordan shoe or not. And they don't really know which ones are made by Jordan Brand, which ones aren't. I think like people who are kind of just like new to the sneaker game, it's difficult for them to tell which one is a Jordan, which one isn't. So, and that's what Nike was trying to avoid. And I totally get their point of view. Also like, the thing is like, if you start with this, with the Jordans, right? Like where does you, like Nike can go so many directions with this. Like, are they going to put it on the Air Force Ones next and then kind of stop Bape from making Bapestas? Right. Because I mean, that's what a Bapesta is. A Bapesta is basically an Air Force One.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if they could stop the Bapesta because it's been so long that like the Bapesta is, even though it's a rip off the Air Force One, it's its own thing now. And I think there's some rumor that like Nike allowed Bape to do it in return for royalties or something like that. I don't know what the exact details are. So I think that's all good, but you're right. I think, you know, I get both sides too. I mean, like it's a business and a legal issue, right? So I get that they want to protect their design, and if they have protected it, you know, they want to get royalties on, you know, whatever, whoever uses their design. But then I can also see the other side, you know, at the same time, bootlegs, customs, creativity, that's kind of, they're so central to the culture and the community. Mm-hmm. It's what makes it fun. Like you said, like Fugazi, like you love that kind of like design because it reminds you of an iconic shoe, but it's a little bit different. I don't know. I think it's hard to kind of draw a line as well. You kind of have to pick a side because you can't really allow some people to do it and allow others not to. But I think there's a difference in like, you know, a customizer or someone who is riffing off of the design and has maybe like one size run that he sells or sells like made to order customs. You know, I think that's different than like a company who literally just uses the design, slaps like a rose on there instead of a swoosh or, you know, or a shooting star, like, you know, just to take the Bape example, and then just sells multiple size runs and just cranks them out like a machine or like a brand would do, like a company would do. So I don't know how it's going to shake out, but if I were Nike, maybe I would only go after those kinds of people, the ones who are like really just pushing out like mass amounts of these bootlegs and not like the independent creative. But then again, you know, who decides where to draw the line? That's yeah, the question.
It's you know, like that other side of the argument, which is that big brands do this all the time. You know, like I know, for example, like Zara and H&M, they've caught so many lawsuits. They must have like a thousand lawsuits pending of stolen designs that they've stolen from small creators. And they get a lot of, you know, hate for that. This is kind of the other side of the argument where I don't know, I wouldn't say necessarily the small guys stole from the big guys, but it's definitely the idea or like the main silhouette and the main design did come from the big player here. And so they're just trying to protect their property, which I personally understand. Like I think it's fair to put this trademark on there. At the same time though, it definitely sucks that the smaller creators can't be making these amazing designs. I own one right here. This is like, this is from, Oray, New York. Shout out to Ray Maya, the creator of this, and, big support for that guy. He designed this. It's called the Empire State of Mind. And it's obviously like, modeled after the state of New York. You got the Statue of Liberty there and the New York City skyline at the back. And like this shoe, I think is just amazing. Like the quality on it is better than a lot of Jordan ones too. And I think it's such a nice shoe. Like even like some big New York celebrities have been wearing this. J-Lo, I think A-Rod was wearing this. So this is, I think, an example of like a really dope creation that was made. And unfortunately, we're not going to be seeing this on at least the Jordan 1 silhouette anymore. So that kind of, you know, makes me bummed out a little bit. But probably the value of these bootlegs are going to skyrocket right now, because we're not going to be seeing any more. So I'm actually really, really glad I own a pair of these. So yeah, But yeah, so that's the other side. Like it's sad that we won't be seeing these amazing creations anymore.
I mean, that depends, right? Like that's what bootleggers are. They don't really care. So I think some will still do it and kind of skate by. And I think if, like I was saying earlier, if they're small enough to kind of fly under Nike's radar, then I can see that continuing, but it'll be the bigger companies that are organized and have like a supply chain and all of that stuff that might suffer and have to stop. Which, you know, which I guess is kind of fine by me on a like a business and legal standpoint. And like you said as well, like Zara and H&M and stuff, they sometimes have shoes that look very close to like a Dunk or an Air Jordan 1 or a Nike Air Max 1 or whatever. I think this might be a good way for Nike to go after them, you know, and maybe that is the plan, right? Maybe it's more about Steve going Madden. After those. Yeah. If Steve Madden, maybe it's more about going after these companies rather than the smaller bootleggers. I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, that's a good point. Yeah. Like, I mean, those Steve Madden, like Off-White Jordan ones.
So bad. So bad.
That's
we'll put them in the show notes. They're,
But now they could technically even go after like Louis Vuitton, like, you know, like there's been some sneakers that look like Jordan 3s, you know, like and Virgil even said that he got inspired by the 3s, you know, to make some of these.
Like, well, I think it's a fine line between like homage and there are definitely some legal criteria as to how much you can copy and how much you have to be different. There's probably a certain percentage where you say like, the shoe is 27% different because of the stitching and the angle and the paneling. And so it's allowed to be made, you know? So there's going to be ways around it, but it makes it harder to make a shoe that looks exactly like the Jordan 1, which I think is the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure. We know who the big, big, big winners are here. That is the lawyers. The lawyers are going to be just swimming in money from all the lawsuits that are going to happen now. So yeah, shout out to all the patent lawyers out there. I mean, besides that, there's also this news about, have you seen the Billie Eilish Jordan 1 KOs, I think they're called?
Oh, the mids, right? With the like the slime green.
Yeah. I don't think they're mids. I think they're the KO Jordan 1 KO. Okay.
I thought they were KO mids, but maybe they're just KOs. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. They're just a slime green Air Jordan, you know?
I think, you know, like Billie Eilish, that's interesting that Nike is, you know, doing a collab with Billie Eilish. Like that's been their strategy lately. They've been going after these huge pop stars, you know, like, and I guess Adidas is doing that too. But, you know, we had Travis Scott, we had now Billie Eilish. There was also, I think, J Balvin did the Jordan ones too. Adidas is going after Beyonce, Bad Bunny. So it's funny how like it used to be just the athletes that would get the shoes and the collabs, and now you got all these like pop stars. So
and that'll change as well. I mean, like, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, it'll be, you know, a new cycle of different kinds of influencers or creatives or whatever that are going to be co-signing shoes and making big collabs. So we'll see how long this lasts.
Dude, we're gonna have the kickback Jordan ones one day.
Oh man. Oh, I would love to do an Air Force One, actually. Like, I don't know if I want to do it. Yeah, I'd rather do an Air Force One, I think.
I think so. I would do like a New
pack.
Balance.
You do an Air Jordan One and I'll do a Air Force One. It'll be like the kickback pack.
Oh, yo, yeah. We need to drop the pack for sure.
That's pretty good, right?
But we'll give people the option though. Like, we're not gonna like sell the pack like you have to buy both sneakers, you know, like, and people have to drop like $500 on it.
No,
like,
we'll give them the option. Pick one or the other, right?
Yeah. And then the people will decide which one looks better. And then
The Air Force One, right?
We'll know who designed the better shoe.
I actually already know, like, I've gone through this in my mind so many times, like how I would make my Air Force One to look. I'm not going to tell you because you're going to steal my ideas because it's so good. But I'm going to sit on this for like 5 years. And then once we get our collab, it's just going to be game over from the minute I sit down to sketch it.
Man, weren't we talking like, I think episode 5 or 6, we were talking about virtual sneakers. You remember?
Yeah.
Dude, we should just like, you should make your design, your Air Force One design, and just put it on like an NFT and make like 100K off of it.
100K Bitcoin.
Yeah, man, why not? All right. Okay, so let's just get into those, as you guys could tell, a lot of news to get into this week. We'll just quickly now cover upcoming drops of any of the hottest sneakers that we'll be dropping in the next couple of weeks. I'll go first. The New Balance and Bodega 990 V3 supposed to be releasing, I believe. Oh, I hope I'm getting the date right. I think it's June the 20th.
No, 16th.
June the 16th. So that's like in 2 days. Okay.
So wow. It'll be when we drop this podcast, it'll be tomorrow.
Yeah. And I am just kicking myself, man, because there was like a teased image about that pair, like maybe like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I just like saw the pair and I was just like, whatever. Like I really thought it was dope, but I didn't think much of it. And then like a couple of days ago, like Bodega put out like all their promos, campaign pictures for this shoe. And I'm like, damn, the shoe is amazing. I reached out to like Bodega on IG and I'm like, guys, send me a pair so I can review it on the channel. And they were like, wow, you reached out to us way too late. Like we just already like closed this round of seedings or whatever. I guess that's what they call it. And like they were gonna send me a pair, but I was just too late. If I just asked them like a month ago, I would have got this pair, man. So I'm so bummed about that.
Yeah, it's a really nice one. I had that on my list too. Actually, that was my first one as well.
Yeah. Those are super fire. I'm definitely gonna try to get a pair of those. Those look super hard. Really nice colorway, color blocking too. The blue laces are kind of weird, but rest of the shoe, pretty fire.
Sure.
And then there's also on the 20th we got the Unions, the Jordan 4 Unions.
Oh yeah.
It looks like on the 20th, which is a Sunday, we will be seeing the Top Haze,
yeah,
which is a Union exclusive. That's going to be dropping on the 20th, and the other colorway, the Desert Moss, will be dropping on will also be dropping that day on Union, but we'll see a wider release later on the sneakers app and other retailers. I am a huge fan of the original Unions. I definitely like that off-noir pair the best, and one of my most worn sneakers too. I really like that shoe. Both these colorways, I feel like just like not as good as the first two. The Taupe Haze is okay, but I'm not really feeling it that much. I don't know. What do you think of these colorways?
Well, I think the Taupe Haze is my probably favorite of the four. And then I got to
go with
the Guava Ice, and then with the Off Noir, and then the other one, the Desert Moss. But I mean, yeah, it's probably, I don't know, it's a Union exclusive. It's going to be hard to cop, I think, unless they do that like little trick thing, and then it might be an easy manual cop if there's a lot of bots about. I just like the folded tongue. I like the fact that they change up the paneling a little bit. So that's definitely, I forgot about those actually. I forgot that they were releasing this week. That's a solid upcoming list right there. Do you have any others?
There's one more, the Jordan 1 Low and the neutral gray colorway. We saw the high tops already released earlier this year, and this is going to be the Jordan 1 Low. I'm a little disappointed in the shoe, to be honest, because it's not the OG Jordan 1 Low. So the swoosh is like a lot thinner. It looks like basically every other Jordan 1 Low that releases, they didn't give us that OG swoosh, which I was really looking for. So mm-hmm. I'm a little bit disappointed in the shoe, and it's also going to be a woman's release. I don't know why, but yeah, those are my three upcoming releases.
Yeah. So I had the Bodega New Balance 990 V3s as well. And then I'm also looking forward to the Joe Fresh Goods pair, but I don't know when that's dropping. I don't think it's in the next few weeks. But that one looks really nice as well. I think generally the 99, I mean, we said the 990 V3 was both of our favorites, right? And they're coming back with more and more colorways, which I'm super excited about.
We didn't even talk about the 990 V6. We talked about it in the last pod. You officially broke the news, man. You're like
I called it basically.
Yeah, dude, you called it. Like that was the first time I heard anything about it was from you on the pod. And you know, it's funny, like a couple of people messaged me that picture when it released, that the picture from Teddy Santis of the 990 V6, and they're like, bro, look, you guys just talked about it on the pod. So like, it's crazy. Like we broke the news, man. We're the real pirates.
We're the Yeezy Mafia.
Yeah. Like, what do you think? You saw a picture. So what do you think of the 990 V6?
I like it. I saw a picture of the gray one, right? Which Teddy Santis posted. I like it in gray. I saw it in navy blue and I don't like it in navy blue.
I didn't see the navy picture.
Yeah. I can pack this in the show notes and I'll send it to you later, but I saw it on Instagram and the navy blue one, it looks really squashed. Like the quarter panel looks squashed. Like there's not enough space. Whilst on the gray one, it looked okay. So I think it might really depend on the colorway as like to how nice it looks, but that's the same with any shoe, right? So I think I'll definitely be getting it in the classic gray because I really like it.
I love the gray one. It looks very different than the V4 and the V5.
Yeah, it goes in a completely different direction. It's almost like what the V5 should have been, you know, because it looks more like the V3 and the V4 kind of mixed a little bit. And the V5 is much more solid and streamlined, which I also like. But I think I definitely prefer the V6 over the V5.
Yeah, me too. And the N logo is what I noticed the most. Like the N logo is huge on this V6. Yeah. And I like it, especially in this gray color. That's a must cop for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And also, I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to cop since it's a general release.
Yeah, for sure.
So my last one is actually the Paperboy New Balance 992s. They dropped at Paperboy in Paris in January, and now they're dropping at Beams in Japan and End Clothing in the UK. I don't know if other retailers are getting them, but those are the two that I've seen confirm them. And they drop, I think, June 19th. So in a few days from now, super nice pair.
I've already put in all my entries from End. I think I have like 5 or 6 accounts I've already entered.
The thing is, End, like, they make it more expensive, right? Like retail, I think, is like 200. And then they made it 230 euros. They make it more expensive for people outside the UK, which I find really annoying.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I kind of understand though, because they don't charge you customs like when you order it.
So but within the EU, there shouldn't be. I mean, I guess
no, because UK it's from the UK, now. Right? So like now, yeah. Now,
but any even shoe before, order, but even before they charge
that's true,
more.
That's true. You're right.
It's not a customs thing. I think it's just like a thing to like maybe prevent people from outside the UK signing up because they would rather send it to the UK. I don't know what the reason is. It's really annoying. If I ever talk to someone from End, I'm going to ask them.
Yeah, no, it's sometimes like the End prices are higher than like the resale prices.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like sometimes you win the raffle and you're like, oh fuck shit. Like I should have just bought a resale because it would have saved me money, you know?
Yeah. But those shoes, those Paperboy and 992s are so nice. Like I would put that in my top 10 releases of the year. So nice. What a colorway.
Super nice with like the hits of yellow and then that white.
I think they're inspired by fried eggs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like exactly fried eggs.
I fucking love fried eggs. I eat like 2 fried eggs a day.
Oh, nice. Get that protein.
Yeah, man. So like I need those shoes. I hope I can get them.
Nice. Yeah. So that rounds up my list. Very New Balance heavy, but I think
that's good. We need some New Balances. We've just been getting dunks all year. So
that's true. It's going to be a good week, I think, for drops. So it depends on what you're into and also be what you can win. But if you're, you know, if you're listening to this and planning your weekly purchase, there's a lot of good options out there for sure.
Yeah, and that's it. We're going to wrap up the episode with that. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, don't forget to give us a rating on Apple iTunes. And of course, share this with anyone you think will enjoy this type of sneaker content. We really, really appreciate it. We'll see you guys in 2 more weeks. And until next time, peace out, guys.
See you guys.